Yaja's pigtail swung from side to side beneath the backward Tulane green wave ball cap as she shook her head emphatically. She wore an outsized windbreaker that covered her hands, and running pants cinched as tight around her waist as they could be. They resembled a pair of gray terrycloth sandbags.
Anya, two men in the lobby. They are sitting on the far side with their backs to the door and pretend to read newspapers.
You're kidding me. Let's head out the back.
Anya had to fight her irritation with Yaja. The girl had already pointed out a dozen or so bystanders, convinced that each and every one was a clandestine operative on their trail. Anya was relieved that at least playing spy got Yaja too excited to panic or take any more jealous pot shots. She might as well play along. Little wiry Egyptian men and women looked at the brisk Western women as they passed out the hotel's loading dock. Yaja swung along like the health department inspector, and Anya followed down the corridor, which smelled of steamed laundry and cooking food. She smiled in what she hoped was a friendly rather than nervous manner. Luckily, it didn't seem like anyone would challenge them. Suddenly, a door at the side of the corridor flew open just in front of Anya. A man in an iridescent brown suit tumbled out right in front of her, wearing sunglasses and a fez. The man shoved his hand into his suit, and that dramatic action was all Anya needed to go into defensive mode. She acted instinctively and grabbed the upper bicep of his gun arm, seeking to control it. She used the leverage to drive a forward right elbow smash into his face. The man gave up doing whatever he was doing to clutch his face. He fell straight on the floor, bleeding. Yaja faced Anya from the other side of the man's crumpled form, her eyes huge. Just then, someone grabbed Anya from behind in a bear hug that pinned her upper arms to her ribcage.
I got her!
The man hoisted her feet clear off the cracked linoleum. She felt his hot breath on the back of her head and snapped it back hard. She could feel the cartilage of his nose shift and the grip on her ribcage slacken. Anya thrust her arms forcefully out before her, busting the rest of the way loose. As the corrugated soles of her trusty hiking boots touched down, she braced, covered her right fist with her left palm, and spinning clockwise, pile drove an elbow into a big, soft belly. The elbow was working for her. Her attacker doubled over with a big expulsion of hot, foul-smelling air. Anya took a step to her left and side-kicked the big Egyptian. The force propelled him into a dumbwaiter that stood open in the cracked pink stucco wall to his right. The door dropped on him. Anya turned around quickly to see if anybody else wanted to play, but fortunately, she and Yaja had the corridor to themselves. Apparently, the hotel maintenance staff did not get paid to intervene heroically in these petty disputes among the guests. Anya crouched down, reaching tentatively into the clammy inside of the man's jacket, and fished out a Beretta. Straightening, she dried the grips off with two quick swipes across the rump of her jeans. Then she pulled the slide back far enough for a flash of yellow brass to confirm he had a round chambered. Yaja's big eyes had gotten even bigger at the sight of Anya's new weapon.
This is our insurance.
How did you know something was wrong? Was it his fez?
Yeah, it was just way too Casablanca. Let's just get out of here.
It was late morning, and the two women had survived the night. They had found a small, somewhat seedy hotel, but Anya had spent enough time knocking around the world in her days to appreciate the fact that it was still pretty plush by third-world standards. As soon as Yaja had gotten settled in the hotel and recovered from her shock, she was back to her old self again, griping about everything from the mildewy smells to the stains on the bedspread. They had checked out and headed for the most bustling part of the city, if only to blend in. Cars swished up and down the boulevard as tourists sauntered down the broad walkway that ran along the Alexandrian waterfront. Once Yaja had slurped down her first mug of strong coffee and chomped her way through a flaky pastry at a sidewalk cafe, she found something that appealed to her even more than pouting. Arguing.
I think it was the Muslim Brotherhood.
Nonsense. They were assassins sent by the big oil companies. They sent them to keep the knowledge of Atlantean energy secrets covered up from the world.
You're blaming the oil companies?
Of course.
I think that's what would be referred to as a conspiracy theory.
Do you really think that those men all just independently decided to attack us last night and wound up doing so all at the same time by coincidence? That's just stupid.
Anya frowned. She reluctantly had to admit that the noxious brat might be onto something. Obviously, someone had conspired to hit the Polish-Egyptian dig team last night, and they'd done a hell of a job. Had it not been for Anya's ever-increasing experience under attack, it would probably have made a clean sweep. At that thought, Anya lowered her head and felt her stomach do a slow roll. She could clearly see the faces of the dead. The darkly pretty Maria, the cheerful Szczepan Pilatowski, and Dr. Ismail Magrabi, who had tried to shield them all with his body before being ruthlessly gunned down. The others, too. Ever since she had been entrusted with the sword, violence had been more than a frequent occurrence. It had nearly become a way of life.
See? You have no answers for me.
Anger spiked in Anya. She held her body as still as if it were encased in concrete, preventing her anger from traveling so far as her eyes.
I still think it was Islamic fanatics.
Why would they attack our dig? Why would they care? We've never heard a peep from Islamists, not one single threat, and the Muslim Brotherhood has too much on their plate already to arrange such an attack.
It was true. The Brotherhood was currently busy waging an increasingly successful campaign to dislodge the fairly secular Egyptian government. Anya had to admit that the sand was leaking out of her theory. The attackers had worn European and American-style blackout dress and night vision and carried the generic Western counterterrorism weapon, the MP5. Presumably, the Muslim Brotherhood could buy those weapons and learn to use them, but it seemed distinctly out of character.
Okay, Yaja, I need to move. Getting the blood flowing will help me think.
As Anya turned to step away, she was struck by the realization that those lips sneering at her were covered in a carefully applied layer of lipstick. As far as she knew, Yaja had no personal effects except her wallet, some credit cards, and her passport. After a mental run-through of her belongings, Anya realized that she had brought with her a sort of makeup kit given to her by her female cronies at Chasing History's Monsters. She had never, so far as she could recall, opened it, let alone used it. The only possibility was that Yaja had been rooting around in there. With a woman as difficult as her, Anya couldn't get too angry. All she really could do was hope that there hadn't been any condoms in there. Yaja dangled her long legs over a parapet of rough-dressed stone. Several stories below her lay a little shelf of rubble at the base of the 15th-century fortress of Kite Bay and the frothy waves of the Eastern Harbor. Anya paced the terrace behind the Polish girl. Nearby were multilingual signs warning against sitting on the parapet. Luckily, enforcement of safety rules did not seem to be a priority for whatever agency had charge of the national monument. Anya had already come to the understanding that the only way to get Yaja to stop doing anything was to use physical force. Unfortunately, the last thing they needed was to get arrested for causing a public disturbance, possibly bringing them to the attention of the people who wanted them dead.
They conspired against us.
Why do you blame the oil companies?
They have the most to lose from what we might discover.
What did you find in those scrolls anyway?
You were there for one of the most tantalizing parts.
That bit about the gemstones? That just sounded like New Age craziness warmed over.
Right. 2,500 years old is very New Age.
But I mean that charging crystal stuff.
We found out even more before you arrived. The scroll spoke of all those things you seem to find so funny. Flying chariots, artificial lights, lances of light. The ancient Greek who wrote those scrolls did not have the language to describe the artificial power source. He would see it as some kind of divine gift, like Zeus's lightnings chained.
But using gemstones for batteries? I'm no physicist, but that sounds pretty implausible.
Yaja beckoned with her left hand towards an Air France Airbus as it climbed into the sky on its takeoff roll.
How would that airplane look to an ancient Greek? Would it make sense to them? Everything seems impossible until you've seen it with your very own eyes.
How would something like that work? Storing energy that way.
I am no physicist or engineer either. But perhaps it in some way involves the molecular bonds of the crystalline structure itself?
All right, I'll grant the possibility on a purely hypothetical basis. But so what?
The scrolls could prove alternate energy sources were available without the inefficiencies of wind or solar power or the risks of nuclear.
Well, one way or another, it's not as if you found a workable set of blueprints for harnessing that power.
That's true. But we still have places to look.
A sly smile appeared on Yaja's face. She slid her hand down to her side, patting the green and purple synthetic bag plumped beside her on the wall.